The changing of the seasons, no matter if it's right now, summer into fall, or spring into summer, fall into winter, they're an opportunity and an external trigger for us to look internally. And as this podcast is all about caring for plants, having successes with them, it's also about rooting in deeper and understanding how to live in alignment, in concert with nature, and to celebrate that we have seasons internally, just like Mother Nature does. So today, welcome back to another seasonal session with our resident green witch, Raquel, celebrating fall. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy.
Hello, plant friends. My name is Maria. If you're new here, I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy while doing so. And if you're a repeat listener, welcome home. Welcome back. It's such an honor and a privilege to be alongside you as you grow an incredible indoor and outdoor garden and an internal garden as well. Houseplants, outdoor garden, and an internal garden in your own life with your health and wellness. And this episode, this mini series that I've done with Raquel of Infinite Nature is definitely an amazing invitation to deepen your connection with your plants, whether they're your house plants or your garden plants or your property, you know, the trees on your property, by syncing with the seasons. And this doesn't necessarily mean that while it's fall externally, it has to be fall internally, but every turn of the season, every solstice and equinox this year, Raquel has been joining me for these seasonal sessions to dive into what is happening energetically, physically in the changing of the seasons to the earth in order to see, wow, is this a mirror for me? Is this something that I'm going through as well? Or am I maybe in a different season? And for us to even just as humans understand that we all have seasons. I think sometimes modern society forces us to think that we should be in spring and summer in growth and pushing all the time. But there is a time for rest. There is a time for reflection. There is a time for enjoying a harvest and then taking a step back, which is very much what fall is about. And today's entire episode is a deep dive into fall, what's happening in the fall with the earth, what's happening in the fall and in the autumnal equinox in the skies, and what's happening with ourselves. Raquel is a repeat guest on Growing Joy with Plants. She's beloved. She is the author of many books. She was here for our eco-anxiety conversation, our green witch conversation. She's so in tune with nature and such a wonderful partner in this mini series. If you feel like you're in a different season, you can always scroll back. We have one on spring. We have one on summer. We'll be bringing you one on winter for this winter solstice. So without further ado, let's dive in and celebrate everything that fall has to offer our plants and us. Raquel, welcome back for our fall session. So excited to have you today.
Thank you for having me. As you know, I absolutely adore being here.
I adore being here and I adore being connected to you with our roots. We just had a very beautiful moment offline. You caught me in the middle of the day where I'm in a day where I'm recording three podcasts. It's crazy. I'm moving. It's all this crazy stuff. And we practiced what we preached. We just dropped in for a minute and we allowed our little roots to touch via the mycelium network in the energy. And that was really beautiful. So I highly encourage whenever plant friends, whenever you're catching up with a friend, take a deep breath and drop in and let your roots connect to each other. That was really special.
It was very tingly. I got all excited.
So where do we find you? You know, the last conversation we had was for summer. Where do we find you today? Like, what is your summer season look like for yourself? And what are you excited about with fall?
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's kind of hard to actually admit to myself that summer's over. Like, what just happened?
I know.
It went fast. It was definitely fiery this summer and that it went quick. And you know, fire has that kind of fast paced energy to it. And I really feel like this summer had that For fall, for me personally, it does feel like there's a little bit of a harvest kind of energy, which is so very appropriate for autumn and fall, because my daughter, my eldest daughter, is actually getting bat mitzvahed on the day of the autumn equinox on September 22nd.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Congrats, mazel tov to your daughter. That's incredible.
Thank you. It's a beautiful ritual for the autumn equinox, especially because her theme is on growing food and caring for the earth, which feels so appropriate for autumn equinox as well.
Raquel, that's amazing.
I know. We didn't even plan that. It just happened. Honestly, I was like, okay, this is the date. And then I was checking on the dates for autumn equinox. I'm like, oh, that's the same day as the bat mitzvah. You know, when you work with the moon, when you work with the seasons, they work back with you.
Right.
They work back with you. So
I was thinking about this the other day. I think I was like looking at your Instagram stories or something, and I was like, and your kids were in your stories. And I was like, what must it be like for Raquel to be your mom? It must be so cool. Like, do you do ritual with your kids? Are they connected to the earth? Like, do you incorporate that in your child rearing aspect of your life?
Oh, for sure. Oh, definitely. There's always been a big connection to the earth with both my kids. My eldest daughter has more of an affinity for it. Like for example, this morning she was out collecting the blackberries that were ripe and ready to be harvested. And she loves doing that every morning. And then she goes and washes them. And then she brought three of the best ones for me to eat. Like, oh, my heart, you know?
So sweet.
My little one is a little bit more into screens and music. And a little bit more afraid of bugs.
I can relate to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally relatable. She also gets like really big reactions to like bug bites. She has a big histamine reaction to like mosquitoes and stuff. So complete respect. Totally get it. So she's the one who I have to kind of like nudge outdoors a little bit more. With both my daughters, I don't force them into ritual with me. There are certain rituals that we do that, like, for example, we create an altar for every season around the equinoxes and the solstices. And that's something they love to do with me. But they see me go out and do my grounding practices every morning. And I just give them that choice of whether they want to come out with me or whether what they want to do. And if, for me, with my kids, I mean, listen, there's certain things that were like, do your dishes, your laundry, that just gets done. But when it comes to especially like spiritual connection, earth connection, I don't want it to be something I'm forcing upon them. I want it to be something that is internally motivated, and I can just kind of be a little bit of a guidepost, a role model for that. So that's the way I see it. I think also because I was raised with a lot of forced religious behaviors. I was raised in a religious environment and I'm not religious. So I think I tend to have a little bit more of a sensitivity toward quote unquote like indoctrination. And I want my kids to come to their own spiritual connection from their own space of like inner resonance.
Makes so much sense. I want to ask you a question about something I've been rolling around in my head in regards to altars. So this episode's coming out on the equinox. We are doing this interview the week before I moved to Florida. And I've had this really funny relationship with this bird's nest that has been at the door of my house. So we have a light, and every year robins build a nest. And this year there were robins that nested and they had three babies, and the babies were great. And we followed them the entire time. It was amazing. After the nest was abandoned, I was like, oh man, it would be so special to bring this nest to Florida with me as for my nature altar. But then Billy and I looked into it, and robins reuse their nests, and I would never want to take something that they needed. So I like let that go. Then there was a crazy storm, and it blew the nest off of its perch. And actually, as we walked around our property, multiple nests were like on the floor, like on the ground. And I was like, this is interesting. And then I was like, what do we do? The nest was too kind of smushed. It still looked like a nest, but we didn't put it back up in the perch because it was already knocked to the ground. And then we went away for 10 days on vacation. And when we came back, the robins had built a new nest in the same area.
Of course they did. Yes, they did.
So do you think it's okay if I take this nest that fell, that now is just kind of sitting on the ground, to my nature altar in Florida?
Yeah. Not only do I think is it okay, I think it was gifted to you.
You think it was gifted to me?
I think it was gifted to you.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think that you wanted to take it, but you were like, I don't want to take their home. You had respect for them. Nature felt that love and respect and said, we know you are nesting in your new place. We know how special this home has been for you. Here you go, my love. Here is this for your altar, for your energy. No guilt attached. Right?
Wow.
And you can even like take it and reformulate it in a way that looks the most like a nest for you on your altar.
Yeah.
And with the intention of, I am nesting.
And I was thinking I'd put my crystals in it.
Yes. And not, and like, there's another intention you can set with that as well for your own family's growth. But yes, I think that is, oh, I have chills all over my body. Yes.
Yeah, me too. Okay. I'm so happy I talked with you about this because I've been, so the other thing with nests is how miraculous it is. Like when I look at this nest, it is incredible how birds know how to make nests. I feel like that could be a whole separate episode, but the architecture of this nest is insane. And actually, because there's mud and leaves and all of it, there's actually plants growing within the nest because there are seeds that sprouted in the nest.
That nest is so perfect for you. Like it is meant for you.
I know. I'm like, this is miraculous. It's miraculous. Nature is so cool. So anyway, I digress.
Yes, I love that. And well, it's interesting. I mean, because you could even, like, this could be a whole episode. You should get some of your bird people. But like, if you think about the different birds and the different forms of nests they make, right? Like, so we have nesting turtle doves in our backyard who have come every single year. And they usually use the same nest and sometimes make other ones, but usually they use the same. And they make the like most chaotic nest I've ever seen. It's literally just like, we're just going to throw some twigs in a circle and we're good. You know? Like, but they come back every single year. And what's funny is that even though we don't touch their nest, like sometimes it will fall down. It'll just get too heavy. There's put too much in there. The wind, it will fall down. But regardless of whether it falls down or not, whenever they're getting ready to lay their next clutch, they start bringing some more twigs over to the nest again. So I feel like they have this almost like innate behavior of preparing the nest for the next clutch of eggs. Regardless, at least this is what I see with the turtle doves. It might be different with different birds. So again, that's why I wouldn't be too concerned when you have a nest in a specific area. If it gets knocked down, don't get too concerned because the birds are, it's almost like they can imprint on the nesting zone. And birds, I know a lot of animals have this. I'm not sure exactly about birds. I'm not a bird expert. But from what I understand and what I'm seeing with the turtle doves, it seems like they want to come back to that same nest even when they're an adult for their own babies. So it's almost like they imprint on the location itself. Oh, yeah.
Our hummingbirds, I can't see their nests, even though I've spent hours on, you know, TikTok looking at hummingbird nests because they're so small. But we have the same hummingbirds come back every year. Like they know every year. And the first day that they get there, they're like knocking on my window being like, excuse me, we're back for the season. Where's my hummingbird water? And I'm like, oh my gosh, it'll be right there.
I love it. We have hummingbird nests. Yeah.
Oh, I love hummingbirds. I'm hoping in Florida that I'll have hummingbirds too. So follow me on Instagram if you want to see what birds. We actually have a new podcast sponsor. It's one of those cool electric bird houses that has the video camera in it.
I have one of those.
Oh, you did? Do you love it?
My husband just got it for me for my birthday. It's so cool.
Yeah. I'm so excited to set it up in Florida.
Yeah, it's really cool. I'm still figuring out because it takes the adorable videos and photos of them when they come to eat. But now I'm like just trying to figure out like, okay, how do I save this to my phone, like my camera roll, right? So I'm learning. My husband's more the tech guy. He's helping me with it. But the birds, the hummingbirds love it. And of course, there's like a male who'll always be like, this is mine, right? Like mine, you know, and try and chase everyone away. But then when he's chasing, another one comes and, you know.
They're so territorial. I've gotten caught in many crosshairs of hummingbird fights, and they're pretty intense.
Oh, yeah. And they'll dive bomb you. They'll like,
they'll just dive bomb you. Yeah. I'm not scared of them, though. I'm like, please dive bomb me. Please get tangled in my hair. I would love that. I'm like, come sit on my shoulder. I love you so much. Okay. Well, we're here to talk about the fall. which could be interpreted as a nesting season in its own. Well, more winter is nesting, but
it's the startup. It's the lead up to it.
It's the lead up. So tell us about, you know, we're going to follow the same structure as all of these seasonal sessions. What's going on, the changing of the seasons in the earth, in the sky, and in ourselves. So as we enter into fall, what are our gardens and our lawns and our forests and our local ecosystems experiencing?
It is a really stressful time in life, plant friends. And I gotta tell you, I'm constantly surprised and delighted to report that one of the best things I've done for my mental health in the last couple of years is hang Wind River wind chimes around my house. The chimes are so soothing. They sing in the wind. And all day, whenever I hear them, they remind me to drop in for a mindful moment. And Wind River cares about your mental health, so they are using their paid ad break on Growing Joy with Plants today to gift you a moment of calm, a sound bath of sorts, with the Corinthian Bells 50-inch wind chime. So take a deep breath, exhale, and enjoy a moment of relaxation. Gift yourself and your loved ones with moments like this, plant friends, with moments of peace, moments of joy with the Wind River Wind Chime. Use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout to get a free engraving on any engravable wind chime. So you get a free way to personalize the wind chime with a name, an anniversary date, or a special message. It's so perfect for gifting season. Head to windriverchimes.com to listen to all of the different melodious options. The one you're listening to is the Corinthian Bells 50-inch wind chime, and use the code Growing Joy at checkout at windriverchimes.com for that free engraving to add a special element to your gift. That's windriverchimes.com with code Growing Joy at checkout.
This fall, if you are in planting mode, whether you're planting your cold, hardy crops, whether you're getting ready for Thanksgiving, whether you're maybe in a warm climate and you're planting your edibles, wherever you're growing, whatever you're growing, you should be doing it with Espoma Organic. Espoma Organic is a 90-year-old family-owned and operated company dedicated to making safe indoor and outdoor gardening products for people, pets, and the planet. Espoma offers high-quality options for whatever you're growing, whether you're growing indoors with houseplants or outdoors. So if you're growing outdoors, you can start your seeds in their seed starting mix. That's what I'm doing with some flower starts that I have. And then you're going to plant them in your garden with Biotone Starter Plus plant food. Plant friends, Biotone has been like one of the main advantages I feel like I've had in my garden. It is a starter plant food that you plant when you plant up a seedling. It helps your plants grow larger root mass. It reduces transplant loss. It's incredible. And I accidentally forgot to put Biotone in one pot, and the difference between that pot and like how lush the vegetables were versus the Biotone pot when I grew food this summer was wild. So anyway, I highly recommend Espoma Organic Biotone. Then you pot the plants up with their large array of garden soils, compost, and potting mixes for whatever your container or in-ground gardening needs are. And then you can continue to feed your plants with their line of fertilizers called Tones. They have a tone or a fertilizer for whatever you're growing, whether it's flowers or vegetables or bulbs or trees. And if you're a houseplant enthusiast like I am, keep it simple. Plant all your houseplants in their general potting mix. They also have a cactus succulent mix for your more cacti arid loving plants. And then I love their liquid indoor houseplant food. It's so simple. It's a liquid. You literally use the cap to measure the amount of liquid you need, dump it in your watering can, water, and you're done. It takes the confusion out of fertilizing houseplants. And to top it all off, they have a huge sustainability commitment with 100% solar-powered plant, zero-waste manufacturing, and eco-friendly packaging. To learn more about Espoma's indoor and outdoor products, visit espoma.com to see where your local Espoma dealers are, or you can click the link in the show notes to go to my Amazon storefront where I have a curated list of my favorite Espoma products. Thanks, Espoma.
I mean, this is really going to vary based on where you're at and your, you know, microhabitat and all of that, your climate. But ultimately, what fall represents is this harvest. Like, it starts off with this big kind of harvest energy, but then it kind of goes, it slows down into an energy of preparation and then restoration. So if we think about what's happening on the earth, we have kind of, you, like, for example, in my yard, my fig tree is going off. all summer long, it's growing figs and like growing like gangbuster, like just so much growth. But those figs don't actually get soft and I can't start harvesting them until like the end of August into September. So it's just a lot of harvest. And for a lot of people who are in your gardens, you're probably going to be doing a lot of your last harvests. You might also be doing a lot of pruning, a lot of cutting back, a lot of preparing for the wintering of your garden, the more dormant season of your garden, depending on your climate. Of course, some of us can garden all year round. But even if we are people who garden all year round, we're probably going to be thinking about doing a bit of a changeover between our more summer produce and now moving into more of our winter produce. So like clearing up the tomatoes, the basil, some of the softer lettuces, and bringing in things more like the broccoli, the cauliflower, the kales, those harder cruciferous. Thank you.
I say cruciferous. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I believe you're correct. Sometimes I see the word and then I'm like, how do I actually say it? You know what I mean? So some of those like hardier winter vegetables and produce, getting rid of the sugar snap peas and putting in your winter, your pole peas, things like that. Now, if you're going to go into winter, this is your time to really cut back your garden, maybe even mulch it or cover it up a little bit so that soil can have nice coverage so it can do its nice little like marination and allow all those microbes and fungi within the soil to like eat decayed things and kind of create its own compost again, right? So you could put compost on your gardens at that time too, just to kind of feed the soil, nurture the soil itself. Now, when we're thinking about just looking around, I mean, when we think about autumn, I can just ask you, especially where you live, Maria, like, what does autumn look like?
Well, I mean, I live in the Catskills, at least. It's fall foliage center. I mean, people come from all over the country to be in my backyard and see, you know, the gorgeous fall. And I think there's something so poetic with the leaves turning in the fall where it's this spectacular celebration of these leaves dying and falling to the ground, right? Like, let's talk about that a little bit, because I feel like death isn't celebrated the way it is in regards to fall, if you really think about it.
Yeah. And I think it's really important for us to recognize that nature celebrates death. Nature, like, I think we're taught as humans that death is in opposition to life. Death is not in opposition to life. Death is a part of the life cycle. It belongs to life. It belongs to life, right? And I think autumn and winter are such beautiful representations of that. But what I love about the leaves changing color and the beauty of that is ultimately what's causing those leaves to change color? Lack of productivity.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Following.
It's the lack of productivity. They're getting rid of that green chlorophyll. The green chlorophyll is what creates the productivity within the plant, which allows them to photosynthesize and create energy, productivity. But as the seasons change, as the days get shorter and colder, that chlorophyll's like, I'm done. Like, I'm out, I'm tapped out. Time to replenish, right? And so it stops creating that green chlorophyll. And so the other chemicals within the leaves, things like tannins and other things that I am not a chemist, so I don't know all of them, those have different colorations to them. Those get amplified. And so we get these gorgeous reds and golds and burgundies and browns. And all of that is coming. All of that beauty is coming from us stopping to produce. How beautiful is that as a message for us?
So important. Yeah.
So important. And like when I was kind of reading up and getting ready for this call, like that was the thing that just was shining to me, was it's like, notice the beauty that comes when we stop focusing solely on productivity.
Yeah, because I just want to like sit with that for a minute, because I feel like people think about stopping being productive in quote unquote winter, which is like the ultimate rest period. But it's really fall that slows you down. Like spring ramps you up for the summer, fall ramps you down for the winter. And it's important. It's such an important part. And it's interesting, not to like make this about weight loss, but it was so interesting that like I have a pretty intense workout routine right now as I'm building muscle. And I went to Spain and we just like walked a lot and I wasn't able to like lift heavy weights. And came back, didn't really get into my workout routine as quickly as I normally do. And I like lost 5 pounds. not working, like not doing the traditional weightlifting and stuff like that, but it was in the like rest and in the lack, I guess, quote unquote, lack of productivity that my body was able to like kind of reset and release. And I think that's so interesting. And it's a subtlety. I also think about, I just harvested my first round of potatoes.
Oh my gosh.
I grew in a grow bag and it was so fun. It was so fun to harvest them. But also, you had mentioned earlier the like preparing. So like, yes, I harvested the potatoes. Fall is all about the harvest and the abundance and celebrating that. But then also I had to prepare to cure the potatoes and to store them and to clear all of the old leaves that had died back and the soil. Like, it's not just about the abundance of the harvest. It's also about what comes after.
Yeah. So if you can kind of think of that period of time from summer solstice to autumn equinox as this like productive growth, celebration, and harvest energy. And then as we move from autumn equinox into winter solstice, we have this harvest, preparation, restoration energy. I mean, we know that things aren't actually linear, but that's kind of linear in that first we harvest, then we prepare what we've harvested. Like back in the day before we had fridges and grow houses and food growing all year round, like people would be canning foods, they'd be storing foods, they'd be preparing for those months of winter where you're not going out and harvesting food or going out and hunting. Like you're living off the stores that you've accumulated, right? So harvest would be, autumn would be a big time of that, like canning and salting and, you know, just preparing all the food to last through those winter months. And then at that point also, we'll be getting more into those colder days, the days shorten. You can really feel the shortening of those days. Now, of course, where we live, we artificially change the clocks. So that creates even more of a shift for us as humans. But even in nature, the days get shorter. That's what autumn equinox is representing to us. Like the equinox itself is when we have the balance as close as we can to equal day, equal night. And then as we continue toward the winter solstice, we have the night getting longer and longer and longer and the day getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And we feel that. And the plants feel that. And I think sometimes when we look at especially the gorgeous foliage of fall, of autumn, we can really look at that as the beauty of the slowdown. There's still productivity happening. The plant's still moving waters and energies up and down. It's really when all those leaves fall that we can be like, it's that slow death of winter, right? It's that quiet space of winter. And then we can get more into the restoration. But to know that the harvest, the prep, the planning is part of the energies of autumn can actually be really supportive for us because unfortunately, at least where we live in the United States of America, fall doesn't feel like a slowdown. It feels like a ramp up because so many of us, especially those of us who have kids or those of us who work within the school system, are going back to school. And that usually involves lots of shopping and lots of meetings and back to school stuff. And then before you know it, it's like pushing the holiday season. And nature wants us in the holiday season to come together in community and rest more and eat more nurturing foods. But society tells us to buy and to sell and to decorate all the things, like just to do all the things. And so I think so many of us are really trying to create a little bit of a balance between like what we feel naturally, cyclically within our own bodies that's aligned with what we're feeling from the earth, with what our society is calling from us, trying to create a balance with that.
Makes total sense. Yeah. So it's both. It's this harvest. I feel like in our spring conversation and in our summer conversation, it was more singular. Spring was about the like germination and the setting forth. Summer is about the like continued growth. Fall is about the harvest and the slowing down. Harvest and slowing down actually feel like two different energies, but it's almost like they represent both. But I guess that also makes sense as the fall equinox represents both day and night.
Yeah. Well, and I think it also is like that transition time, right? So if we're like starting at the autumn equinox, we are probably going to be still in that harvest prep mode. But as we get closer and closer to winter solstice, we're really going to be more in that restoration mode if we allow ourselves to be there.
Yeah, Totally, totally. So like ask yourself, listener, like how can you take some of the pressure off of you if you are, you know, someone who feels like the fall is when you have to ramp it up and buy all the things and do all the things? Like how can you clear some space for some reset and slow down?
Yeah. And also just recognizing part of that harvest energy is to just take a look back and be like, wow, look at all I've done. And congratulate yourself for it. Like really congratulate yourself for that. Like taking that time, that's part of the restoration, is to celebrate what you've done. And just to speak back about like spring and summer, spring feels like a long time ago, so I don't have as much memory of that. But I do remember when we were talking about summer, we were talking about the balancing of that water element with the fire element, right?
Yeah, totally.
Because nature always wants balance. So nature's always seeking homeostasis of some form of balance. So even when we're talking about the seasons, and the season of fall is air. It's a very airy season. You can think about fall and some of the, you know, storms that come through, the winds that come through. I often feel like you can get that sense of autumn when the winds come with that smell. You know what I'm talking about? Like there's a certain smell to it and there's a little bit more of the crispness in the air and you're like, ooh, yeah, it's autumn now, right? So it's represented by the element of air. And the element of air is really the element of our mind, of our thoughts, communication.
This episode of Growing Joy with Plants is brought to you by Manucora Honey, also known as Honey with Superpowers, also known as my new hyperfixation, if you've been listening to this podcast for the last couple of months. I use it almost every morning to make my coffee so delicious. When I say honey, you might be picturing those bear-shaped bottles at the supermarket, but that's not what Manucora Honey is. Manucora Honey is single origin, rich, creamy. It's so delicious. It almost tastes like caramel. Plus, it has 3 times more antioxidants and prebiotics than that average honey or honey bear. Now, I love the jar and squeeze bottle. That's what I use every day. But I also love that they make these compostable honey sticks that are perfect for traveling. So if you're leaving for the weekend, you can still bring your honey and have delicious honey in your coffee on the go or however you choose to eat it. Try it for yourself, plant friends, and you'll get $25 off their starter kit since you're a listener of the podcast. So all you have to do is go to manucora.com/bloom. Manucora is spelled manucora.com/bloom, and you'll get $25 off your starter kit. I like to add it to my coffee in the morning. Manucora honey milk will literally taste like a dupe for that brown sugar shaken oat milk drink that we all know and love. And lately, I've also been known to take that squeeze bottle and just squeeze a little bit of it on a piece of cheese for a snack. Anyway, go try it for yourself. Manucora, manucora.com/bloom to get $25 off your starter kit. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
So when we head into autumn, and I think we're kind of moving into like what's happening within us and a little bit of like what's happening in the sky. As we move to autumn, the autumn equinox happens at the same time as the start of Libra season. The cardinal signs, which are Libra, Aries, Cancer, and Capricorn, the reason they're called the cardinal signs, which means cardinal energy is like starting energy, is because they literally start each season. So for us on the Northern Hemisphere, Libra starts autumn, Capricorn starts winter, Aries starts spring, and Cancer starts summer. For the Southern Hemisphere, that's just kind of reversed, but that's for us in the Northern Hemisphere. And Libra is the cardinal air sign. Libra is represented by the scales of balance, right? So appropriate for equinox energy, which is all about equal day and night. And Libra is all about equality and the community in some ways, like making sure everyone feels heard, feels a sense of belonging. Libra is also very cerebral. My eldest daughter is a Libra. But Libra can also tend to kind of people please. In fact, Libra can get to a point sometimes where they're so concerned about what other people think that they like are can't even get to like, what do I actually think? So that can be kind of like a shadow aspect of Libra. But when we're thinking about autumn and we're thinking about the start of Libra season, we're really feeling into the elements of air and how it can come in and really shift our mindsets. So when I think about autumn equinox, and I think specifically about this particular autumn, where we also have a pretty intense presidential election happening during this time. And there's also eclipse season that's happening during this time as well, for us to really work on the mindset, on reprogramming, on quote unquote training the mind, not letting it run rampant, can be super beneficial. And autumn itself can be very cleansing for the mind. I often think about, I think we talked about this with summer equinox as well, because I think water was coming through for me. But like with the elements of air, I love when it's really windy to just go outside sometimes and like pretend to kind of be like Avatar and be like, air, right? And then you just let the wind just feel like it kind of cleanses me, just like wipe everything away. Autumn can be great for that, to let yourself let the winds of change actually blow through.
Oh man, I love that, particularly as I'm moving and like changing everything about my life. That's a really interesting way to think about it, is to let the air kind of push you in the directions that you're supposed to go.
And I think specifically with the mind and with air, like when I think about air, yes, I think about my own mindset, my own thoughts, but I also think about kind of like the ideas that are just floating out there in the muses. Like, did you read Elizabeth Gilbert's Big Magic book?
It's one of my favorite books. It's one of my most recommended books. Yes. That I recommend people.
You know how she talks about the idea that not all of our ideas are our own, that they're literally, yes, like floating on the air. And sometimes the same idea can be seeded into different people. And so different creatives will all of a sudden out of nowhere be working on the same project.
Yep. Wow.
So I think it's also a really wonderful time for us to open up, to recognize that this is not only just a time to work on our own mindsets, but open to receive the inspiration that naturally wants to float our way.
Right. Let the air move you. Like, don't fight. Don't stand gripping into the air and like stand your ground in the wind and avoid it, but like actually let it move you a little bit. I love that.
Yeah. Be the plastic bag from American Beauty. Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
Be the plastic bag. Never will I ever say be the plastic bag, except for in this situation.
our eco-conscious contributor, but I love this.
We can make it a lightweight canvas bag, you know?
Yeah. I love this. So interesting. Anything else happening in the stars that we should be knowing about in this interesting time? You mentioned eclipse season. When does eclipse season start?
Yeah. Let me pull out my calendar so I can tell you. I don't want to get too much because eclipse season can be like a whole nother thing. But we have our first eclipse with the full moon on September 17th. It's a super full moon eclipse in Pisces. And then we have the new moon eclipse in Libra on October 2nd. So yeah, it's going to be eclipse season during this autumn equinox. And eclipse season is a really good time for us to go with the flow. Eclipse season is not the time to try and force and control. Eclipse season is the time to ride the waves as best we can and to stay open and receptive to the changes that are coming, the epiphanies that are coming through, and really to just kind of let the universe take the wheel. That's like my mantra during eclipse season is like, I'm riding shotgun. I'm just riding shotgun. You know?
I love that. That's so beautiful, especially as we talk about relating it to fall and like the harvest into the preparation and the letting yourself go with the winds, just kind of flowing and letting it look different maybe, you know, because the other thing is if you're looking at fall and like you're looking at this potato plant or this corn plant that you've grown all summer and it looks this way, and then all of a sudden it's not there because you've harvested it, you know, like let things look different. That's been a mantra of mine.
And let things go.
And let things go. Yeah.
Because sometimes we actually have to really completely get rid of plants from our garden, like just completely pull them out and compost them.
Yeah. And let that compost go feed something else, right? Go feed another plant.
Yeah.
That needs your... This is perfect. So in your personal practices, how are you using fall? And for listeners that want to be more in tune with the changing of the season, like what should we be looking at for ourselves as either practices or thoughts and mindset?
Well, like we did with summer season, you might actually find that it might be good to ask the elements what other element might want to come in and support you, especially if you're feeling like your mental energy is a little intense during this season. Like if you're noticing that your brain is just really loud and kind of spirally, then see what other element might want to come in to help support that, to help balance out that air energy. I know personally some things I love to do around autumn equinox is when, I mean, this year it's going to be a little different just because we have the celebration. But usually I always go on a nature walk with my girls and we collect different things to bring back for our altar and we create the altar. I love, love, love bringing out some of the fall decor items, either decorating the front porch or the home with some of the fall things. I love getting some of the pappas grasses from out here that we can kind of clip in different places. I also really like making a kind of like a seasonal meal. This will be the time of year where I'll start bringing out the butternut squashes and the acorn squashes, a lot more of those. Yeah, more of the root vegetables, the pumpkin spice, right? Like it's that time of year. I also, just because I'm in Southern California and we are still pretty warm during this time of year, for me, it's still a lot of mint and fig. I'm eating a lot of fig typically around autumn equinox because we have a fig tree that is just very prolific. And this is kind of interesting. And this is just based on my cultural background. For me, being raised Jewish, our high holidays happen right around this time. And so for us, traditionally, for me, autumn always felt like the start of the year because that's when we celebrated Rosh Hashanah, which is the start of the Jewish calendar, of the Jewish New Year. So for me, there was always this, and also it's like when school started. So for me, autumn always felt like a new beginning, even though when we look at the astrological calendar, it's really spring that's the start of the year and the start of the new beginning. Just because of my lifestyle, that always felt like a new year, a new start. And so for me, as I head into autumn, for me, there's always this sense of being able to start on a clean slate. It's almost like wiping the mind clean. Like if you were to take an eraser to a dry erase board, that's always been something that comes through for me around this time. And honestly, I feel like air is really good for that. If we can call an air to come and just like and wipe away, clean some of those repeating thoughts that are not necessarily super beneficial that are running through our head or through our nervous system even, that can be really, really beneficial. One of the things that's interesting about the High Holy Days is that it does ask for a lot of inner reflection around your behavior. Now, the way I was raised with it, it felt like it was very guilt-inducing. But one of the things I'm seeing now more as an adult is that it's actually an opportunity for you to take stock at your harvest of the year. Now, of course, I'm not religious, so I don't do it in the same way. But I do find that that time of year I naturally do that. I take stock of like what's happened this last year. What do I feel like I'm harvesting? What do I feel like I'm still planting? And what do I feel like I'm discarding?
Yeah. Well, I think that's the beauty of, and the reason why it was so important for me to create this mini series with you is like the turning of the seasons is an awesome opportunity to reflect in every point. And because you do have this for most people, I'm moving to Florida, so we don't have fall in Florida, but like you have this external trigger to be like, oh, the seasons are changing. Oh, it's cold. Oh, I smell, for me living in New York, like the smell of crisp fall air does something to me. Like it awakens me, it calms me. It's like all these things at once. And having this opportunity and this external trigger to be like, oh yeah, let me turn inwards and let me, just like you said, like what is being harvested in my life that maybe I'm taking for granted, right? Because once again, let's just bring everything back to this potato plant. But potatoes, once you plant them, you like kind of leave them alone. They're just kind of there in the corner. You're watching them. You're used to this like little green plant over there. You kind of take it for granted that you're like growing this produce. Where can you celebrate harvests? And then also, where can you let go of those celebrations? Where can you let go of the fails too? Like, where can you, it's just this beautiful fall, particularly to me, more than spring and summer, tends to be very reflective and very like, also for, it's also the beginning of the school year. So a lot of people view it as the beginning of the year because of the school system, but also it's like, and it's your last 3 months before the new year turns. So also like what still needs to be done if you're looking for your business, what doesn't need to be done? What's getting bumped to 2025? Like what's, it's where a lot of people do their annual planning. So yeah, it's all very interesting and a beautiful time for reflection for sure.
Yep. Yeah. And what you just described in terms of like fall feeling a little bit more of like a slowdown, like what you're describing is literally the part of the fall that is taking you into that winter season, that part that is the restorative, right? Because as we go fall to winter solstice, fall equinox to winter solstice is that the harvest, the prep, the restoration. And then as we're in the winter solstice back to spring, there's this restoration. And then there's also this kind of like illumination and cleansing that comes in as well. But we'll talk about that more as we get to winter solstice. But yeah, I feel like with autumn in particular, I mean, I think if we think about each season in terms of the elements as well, right? Like Aries is that earth element, yeah, that growth. And then summer is that fire element of that productivity and like brightness and like speed and heat, you know? And then fall, we get this air energy of, to me, air also is possibilities. There's this element of like possibilities that come in. It's very much, air is also very much about focus and boundaries because of the way it impacts our minds and the way that our minds can be used for focus and boundaries in particular. So I think it's a really good element for that. And then winter is that element of water, that element of flow, that element of emotion, that element of adaptability as well. So even thinking about elementally and how they feel, how those elements feel, like our own relationship with the elements can be a good way that we feel into working with the seasons. And that can shift depending on where we're at. We could use air in really beneficial ways, or we can find that air is coming in ways that feel really distracting or really chaotic. It really is based on what's going on within our own energy and what our personal energy needs in that moment as well.
Oh, so beautiful. I know you said, would you mind leading us through? So now that we've kind of explored and excavated what fall means to us, can we do a little bit of a meditation to wrap this up and allow ourselves to drop in even deeper to this fall equinox energy?
Yes, I would love to. And it's actually perfect timing because the meditation that I have prepared is one that does just what I described, which is like ask air, like, what do I need from you right now? You know what I mean? Like, so this is just something I do, friends, somatic practice I do to help me go from like a lot of that air element and talking, so I can kind of drop in into the moment, into my body. So I just kind of shake a little because it helps me get present. If that feels good for you, you can do it as well. All right, let's start with a hand on the heart. If it feels good, you can place another hand around the belly button area, around the navel area. And we're just going to start in taking a nice deep breath, really breathing in through the nose, if that's available, into the lower abdomen, then up into the chest. and just letting everything go with an open mouth exhale. We're already working with and utilizing and calling upon the elements of air, even right here and now, as we focus in on our breath. Breathing in again, allowing that fresh oxygen, that fresh air element to come rushing through as we inhale. And allowing it to cleanse and release anything that's distracting as we exhale. And just keep breathing in, letting yourself really feel yourself receiving that fresh energy, that fresh air, that fresh prana as we inhale. And now as we exhale, beginning to allow every cell to receive that fresh air. So not only are we receiving as we inhale, we're receiving as we exhale too. Very good. And as we continue to breathe like this, I want you to go ahead and use that beautiful inner eye of yours to envision a gorgeous autumn forest. Perhaps it's the forest all around Maria's home, up in the Catskills. Just imagine it. See the colors, the burgundies, the browns, the golds, the yellows. Smell that crisp, sharp air. Hear the crunch of the leaves and the grasses underfoot as you move through. And just let this vision permeate your consciousness as we allow ourselves to be with the sensations of fall, the sensations of autumn. Take notice in your mind's eye if there's any type of tree in particular that is coming to you. If there's a certain color of the leaves that is brightest in your mind's eye. And just let yourself be with this. Be with the smell. Be with the temperature. Be with the sights. Be with the forest community as it's in this time of transition. As it's allowing itself to be beautiful art in the slowdown. And from this grounded place, from this interconnected place with the forest, we're going to extend our energetic roots now down from our feet and from our sit bone, down deep into Mother Earth, allowing those roots to move through the layer of fallen leaves, layer of humus beneath that, down deep, moving through the mycelial network, finding a place to anchor in, to connect. And now breathing that earth energy up through those roots, all the way up to our heads as we inhale. And receiving that beautiful earth energy in every cell of our body as we exhale. One more breath, just like that, really connecting in with the love, abundance, generosity of earth as we breathe in. And letting your body receive that love and abundance and generosity as we breathe out. Beautiful. And from this connected place, we're now going to call upon the element of air, the element of thought, the element of inspiration, the element of gusts and flows to come to our awareness, taking note of how air is coming through. Is it coming through slowly or is it whipping through your consciousness? Do you feel it coming from your right side or your left? Is it in front of you or behind you? Just notice how air is coming to your consciousness, how it wants to come in. And allow this air to move over your whole being as if she was gently caressing you. Take notice of where she begins. Is she starting at your head or is she starting at your feet? But let this element of air caress your aura, and your body moving through with grace, with ease, and with its own intelligence. We don't need to force or control this. We are just receiving as this element comes through and interacts with our energy in the way that's most beneficial. I feel the air behind my heart space right now, going over my shoulders and my shoulder blades, and then wrapping around to the front of my heart and just gently tapping. And however you feel it, that is what is appropriate for you. Let this air cleanse you. Let this air caress you. Let this air inspire you. And keep breathing it in. Receiving with the inhale and receiving with the exhale. And before we give thanks to air and give thanks to this beautiful season of autumn, let's just take a moment and ask this element of air and this beautiful, absolutely necessary and transitionary season of autumn to share with us a gift of restoration. Even as we move into autumn, into the responsibilities and needs that are there, ask for autumn and the element of air to seed within you a gift of your own restoration. What idea is air giving you for how you can create more a sense of space, of time, of presence, even as you move through your daily life, daily needs, daily responsibilities? How can this element of air, how can this season of autumn support you in all of your harvests, in all of your preparations, and in the restoration that can come from taking those earlier actions? Allow this element of air to bring forth all that you deserve to feel proud of, all that you've done, accomplished, even all that you feel like you failed in, because that is learning too. It is worth celebrating. It is worth harvesting even our failures. So let the air, let that be known to you. And let the air give you a sense of capacity and capability in your own preparations for the season of rest to come. What can you do to help create space for more space? Let the air come in and give you a sense of cleansing, a sense of what's possible for you. And then lastly, just surrender into being here now. Allowing the air to move around within, without us. And giving thanks to this moment, giving thanks to your own focus, your own presence, giving thanks to Mother Earth below, giving thanks to Great Universe above, and giving thanks to the season of autumn, the element of air, and the cleansing inspiration we receive. Gently wiggling your fingers and your toes. And when you feel ready, floating open your eyes. Did something come through for you, Maria? Because I know you got a busy autumn.
Oh, yeah. I got a busy autumn. First off, thank you. That was so beautiful.
Oh, my pleasure.
I think what came through for me was immediately I just heard, let it look different. Let the page turn, like let the season turn, let it look different. And then I also heard, let it be slower than you think. Because I'm so fiery that I'm like, okay, I'm going to move. I'm going to have everything unpacked. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's all going to be done the first week. And it's like, actually, let's just like, let's let this pace move a little bit slower. And it just felt very cleansing, like the power of air. I mean, you don't think about it, but like the power of breath is literally moving air through your body, and how I was just letting it like come this like tunnel of just clearing everything, you know, which felt so good.
Beautiful. I love that. It was funny because I was like, I'm like leading this meditation and I'm like, why am I not getting anything? Like what air is not? And then it came the realization air was telling me I need to be more quiet. And so I was like, well, of course I'm not feeling that when I'm literally talking.
Yeah. Oh my God. That makes so much sense. Well, sweet listeners, let me and Raquel know on today's post what came through for you with the meditation. I feel like so grounded and calm and ethereal and like airy. I feel so grounded and airy at the same time right now. Raquel, you're so magical. You have so many amazing offerings and ways to support people. Where can people find you and how can people work with you at this moment?
Oh, well, thank you so much. And you are so magical too, my friend. I think that's why our relationship is just so wonderful. It's because we're both so magical. So you guys can find me on IG at Our Infinite Nature Raquel. You can also find me on my website, ourinfinitenature.co. I do have a new Instagram account right now called Intuitive Moon Co. And if you love following the wisdom and energies of the moon, please follow me along there. There's some more exciting stuff coming up with moon community stuff coming up as well. And if you want to work with me one-on-one, I offer a lot. So I offer one-to-one sessions, like intuitive sessions, spirit sessions, along with energy transformation sessions, which are a form of Reiki combined with intuitive energy healing. And then I also offer coaching packages. So if you're interested in learning how to cultivate your own spiritual and intuitive connection, specifically utilizing nature as your teacher, along with my support. That's what my coaching is all about. And I offer 4, 8, and 12 session packages for that. And right now I also have my group coaching program, Intuitive Magic, running. We have that going right now, but that will be opening doors again early 2025. So I'm sure you and I will talk more about that, Maria.
Yeah, get on the newsletter. Get on the mailing list, get on the newsletter. I'll also say I've personally worked with you on multiple different occasions in energy. You've done energy work on me. You've also done spirit guide readings. You've also done ancestral readings, helping me connect with my ancestors. And they've all been amazing. You're so magical. And you are also now someone who I'm like, you got to go talk to my friend Raquel about that. Or like, you got to go talk to Raquel. One of my friends just bought a house and it's haunted. And I was like, you got to go talk to Raquel about that. I think she can connect with your ghost. But I'm also like, oh, you're feeling energetically off. Like, you got to go talk to Raquel. Like, she'll balance your energies. She'll balance you right up. So
thank you.
Yeah, we'll make sure everything's linked in the show notes. And I can't wait for our winter session coming soon.
Same. I can't wait for all of our sessions because I just love talking with you, Maria. Yeah. I just love being in your energy and we are such kindred souls. So much love to you.
Truly very thankful for you, friend. Thank you to Raquel. She is so special and magical. I love her so much. This was so helpful. I did this interview with her when I was in the midst of moving to Florida and it was just like such a chaotic day for me. And I feel like whenever I talk with her, I just like root right in to the truth of everything. She's just a lady that does that for you. So thank you, Raquel. Go follow her at Our Infinite Nature. Go follow her new account. We're going to link to everything in the show notes. I asked her if she would come back on for a lunar specific episode soon, which will be really fun. I'm so excited. Let me know if you like episodes like this. And if you wanted Raquel to come on for another type of green witchy episode, let me know. And if you ever have requests for any sort of episodes, you're always welcome to shoot me an email at maria@growingjoywithmaria.com. I can't tell you how many episodes of this podcast, of the 250 episodes we have, are literally created because a listener DMs me saying, hey, have you ever done an episode on this? I'm really confused about it, or I'd really love to learn more. And I'm like, that's a great idea. Yes, I will go find an expert for that interview, right? So I hope this episode helps you root into nature, get closer with nature, deepen your connection with nature, but most importantly, deepen your connection with yourself, in hopes that you continue to keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test.
It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group. So if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.